Broadcasting from somewhere in Newport Beach, California, welcome to the home of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Wholesalers, I'm so glad you could be here today. Hopefully you found us from iTunes. You know, if you go out to iTunes and put in Wholesaler Masterminds Radio, you can get us on a regular basis, which is to say every time we have a brand new episode, you'll be alerted. And you know, of course, by now, if you've been here before, this is always brought to you by I Carry the Bag, the official magazine of wholesaling. If you haven't had a chance to go out and subscribe, please do. So I was at the National Speakers Association conference here in Anaheim, and a gentleman on the main stage, speaking in front of about 2,000 people, did an extraordinary job. And he did an extraordinary job. His message was so spot on. And even if you had taken away the extraordinary physical features of him, his message was delivered in such a captivating fashion. I don't know if you know the name Kyle Maynard or not. He wrote the book called No Excuses. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've seen Kyle on a litany of national broadcasts to include HBO. He was an ESPY Award winner, which means, of course, ESPN. He's been on ABC's 2020 and Good Morning America. He's been on Oprah and The Early Show. You probably would recognize him because Kyle doesn't have any arms or legs. He had a condition at birth known as congenital amputation. But meanwhile, let's see, he's wrestled, and we just got finished talking about his hiking trip to the peaks above the Continental Divide, and he can bench press 420 pounds, and basically he'd probably wrap me up like a cheap pretzel. Wholesaler Masterminds Radio welcomes Kyle Maynard. Kyle, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I like the cheap pretzel comment, but, you know, got to stay, like, pretty healthy with that.
So yeah, exactly.
Might be like a
exactly.
Gluten-free cheap, pretzel or something.
Yeah, cheap pretzel, no salt.
Right.
So, Kyle, you know, as I mentioned to you when we first started, knowing where to start a quick discussion with you, 10 to 12-minute discussion with you, is kind of daunting because, you know, there's so many cool things that you're up to. And then, you know, they're cool for anybody, and then you layer on, you know, the disability, and it's like, well, number one, it's hard for me to call it that when I see how you attack life, but you layer on the disability, it's like, okay, well, you're doing all this stuff, and you have the disability. So you know, let's level set for people. For people that haven't seen you before, and there's pictures on the web, and you can click out to his site, and I'll make sure that it's abundantly evident for you to get a sense of who Kyle is. Just give us a quick snapshot of your background so people kind of get a sense of, you know, where are we starting this conversation?
Basically, arms in at my elbows and legs at my knees. Just that born that way, like you mentioned, and never knew any different. So just have grown up, you know, my parents never treated me like I was a kid with a disability. It was always just sort of a normal kid. I've got three younger sisters and grew up playing sports and you know, they gave me that mentality early on in life that I wouldn't make excuses for things, wouldn't complain. And it's been a pretty important thing in my life now. I mean, obviously, we all complain about things. I mean, I'll show up 15 minutes late to, like, half the places I'm going. But it's, you know, it's about the big things. It's about looking at the challenges in your life and saying that, like, these things are actually gifts. If, you know, if we allow them to be. And for me, it was, I just want to experience life. And, you know, in January, I'm going to go and climb Mount Kilimanjaro. You know, I've gotten to compete at a very high level in different sports, got to step into a cage and fight in mixed martial arts. And, you know, it's just, I wholeheartedly believe that, like, growth in life comes from experiences, relationships, and learning.
So let's, because again, there's still so much there and so many questions I would have and so many questions our audience might have, but let's play off of a couple things you just mentioned. Number one, stepping into a cage as an MMA fighter. Last time I checked, I am a fully functioning, all limbs are operable. Probably the last thing I'd ever want to do. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure I want to buy a ticket to sit in the audience. what were you thinking? Talk to me.
Well, apparently my, I don't know, my mental state isn't fully functioning. Yeah, Yeah, no, I was wondering the same thing too when I was walking out to the cage. but I've been a fan of the sport for a long time. I've trained with some of the best fighters in the world. In wrestling, I ended up my senior year in high school, placed top 12 in the nation against able-bodied wrestlers. And, I've just always competed at a high level with that. You mentioned the weightlifting, and after training the Brazilian jiu-jitsu for about 6 years with some first and second generation people that were taught by the Gracie family, then to me it was just an opportunity to be able to go in and experience something. Most amateur fighters might have 6 months or a year of training under their belt before they go in and step in a cage and try to see what happens. For me, I put in a little bit of extra time and went out there and knew that I was fully prepared and had an amazing experience. The fight, you can see it on YouTube, but it's, basically wasn't the most exciting event ever. The guy that I went up against, didn't want to get choked by me. And so I'm not the best kickboxer in the world. And, with the reach, giving up a little bit there. But my goal was to go and take him to the ground and submit him. And he wanted to go and keep it on the feet and basically jab, cross, and ran for me with his trainer screaming at him the whole time to come in and, finish me and engage. And, he ran from the guy without his arms and legs, much to the dismay of the people that didn't want to see me do it. And there were quite a few detractors.
Wow. So, and we talked about this a little bit before we start our interview, like anybody, regardless of their station in life, regardless of how much money they make, regardless of how able-bodied or otherwise they are or perceive themselves to be, how do you stay away from the poor, poor, pitiful me stuff that every human being is afflicted with? And I'm not suggesting, because you admit it, you're not devoid of it completely. But when it comes to the things that you go after in your life, when you reference the things that you're able to accomplish, that for some able-bodied folks they wouldn't walk near it, how do you avoid the whole victim thing? What? How are you wired to not sit in your chair and stare at the TV? How are you motivated to do stuff which includes public speaking and wrestling and opening a gym and weightlifting and inspiring people?
It's I think it's just that the mindset that you have to have that effectively there are things that are in your control and there aren't. There are things that are like external that we cannot control. And the only thing that we can fully control at any point in time, at least from my point of view, is exactly what you mentioned, is that mental state to make a choice to say, I am not going to be a victim. And, I realize and fully appreciate the fact that there are, deep issues emotionally and psychologically, that people have to endure. And trust me, I've been there before too. And I know that it's not an easy thing to wake up and realize that, just life is great and everything's going to be fine. But it's that choice to say that I'm not just going to allow things to happen to me. I'm going to make things happen for me. And it's something I try to keep in mind, and just to not spend my time worried about the things I can't control. No matter how hard I wished or hoped or prayed or whatever, wrote letters to Santa, I'm never going to be born with my arms and legs. And so it's a pretty pointless thing for me to go and keep my focus there. And I think it's something that, it's just, there's so many more things to go out there and experience in life once we get outside of our own mental rumination on how bad our situation is.
So I know that for the upcoming winter edition of I Carry the Bag, you're going to be writing an article for us, and we really appreciate that. And by the way, listeners, if you want to see that article and you want to get information like this about how to improve your practice, the art, science, and lifestyle of wholesaling, icarrythebag.com, head out there, get one for yourself, free one goes to your internal, and we're really upping our game as far as the folks that we're bringing to you via that channel of I Carry the Bag. So please do go out and subscribe. So let's just work on this victim thing for another moment, because you appear to do such a masterful job of keeping that demon away, if you will, that gremlin that gets in all of our heads from time to time. Do you happen to have anything in particular that helps you, shake out the gremlin when he wants to kind of burrow in your brain and saddle you with anything, really? I mean, it doesn't have to be about your disability. It can be about a business failure. It can be about, a relationship failure. It can be about, income that used to come in that doesn't come in anymore. Is there something that you like to use? Is there a method you like to use that helps, wash the victimness away, if you will, if that's really a word?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I think that language, so much, language structures reality. And in the words that we use, and internally and externally, those, inner voices that we battle, I mean, we don't take the time to go into to change the thought or to go and question things. If our mind is constantly doubting or saying that we aren't good enough or this or that, like, to go and say, like, how do you know? Internally, to be able to go and question that, to be able to go and turn that around, to be able to, I don't believe that our brain's ever working against us. I think that it's just something that, we're doing the best we can with the resources we've got, and that can be changed. And it's even easier to change the words that we speak. And frankly, if we aren't complaining, then people want to be around us more, and it tends to bring us better things in life. And once we start to have a little bit of that success, and that wheel starts to turn, then it's easier to keep it going and to further not complain even more. So I got to go and catch myself all the time. I mean, it's like if a flight's delayed if I'm, upset with somebody or something or whatever else it is, and it's like I'll go and just, start, whining about stuff. But then it's like, all right, well, what is this accomplishing? And then stop it and change that broken pattern.
Dude, we could sit here and talk a really long time. I say this to my audience all the time. We get to like 12, 13, 14 minutes. And I'm like, well, I know you're probably pulling up to your next appointment, so we gotta throw the flag on the interview. And I hope some of the guys and gals out there are thinking, no, don't do that. Because we'd like to know more. And I thoroughly enjoyed meeting you in person and appreciate the fact that you come on and spend time with us and that you're going to write an article for the magazine. Because, frankly, through the conversations we've had, albeit they brief, separate and away from the physical, you're a cool dude, and it's just fun to have a conversation with you about stuff. So.
That's awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. Hey, wholesalers, look, if you have an event coming up and you want to bring in a powerful speaker, and I'm advocating this wholeheartedly, if you need someone to shake up the room as far as, getting their head screwed on straight, getting the victim mentality out about challenges and obstacles and overcoming them, Kyle does one hell of a job in a keynote. So I'm just telling you that. You don't hear me say that very frequently here. Even though every person I've interviewed is adept and capable and wonderful at it, I enjoy Kyle's talk. And I think that for the right assembly and the right audience for the right topic, you absolutely will too. So, Kyle,
man, that's you've earned that 10% cut.
Wait till you get the invoice; it's more. Kilimanjaro. As a matter of fact, we probably would need to have you back after Kilimanjaro because we gotta learn more about that. I'm sure that our listeners want to know more.
And absolutely, that'll give me a reason to survive it.
Yeah, it's like, dude, how do you get up a mountain and how do you get back down? And I even asked him because there were some pictures available. Go to his Facebook page, and I'll put that link up there when we post this as well. And you'll see pictures of the recent hike that he did. And I asked him the honest question, I'm like, dude, I can almost understand the going up the mountain, but I had trouble getting my head around how do you not let sheer momentum sweep you away going down the mountain. You know, it's just, anyway, that's just how my brain works. Kyle, I thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. No, thank you for having me, for sure. And looking forward to talking again soon.
Awesome. Listeners, we'll be back with another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio soon. Look forward to talking to you.